Okay, it's 6 minutes after now. We'll go ahead and get started. And I believe I'm scheduled for about 45 minutes, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So in order to not run into the Q&A period too much, I'll just say if you've got questions as we go along, feel free to just raise your hand and ask me the question. If you have some that you want to wait until later, that's fine. We'll have a couple of minutes at the end. So I'm going to spend this morning talking with you about interoperating with Microsoft Office primarily from a document format perspective. We'll talk with you a little bit about the various document formats that Microsoft Office supports and the documentation that you would use in order to understand what we write into our documents so that you can open those documents, work with them, understand what's inside of them, create documents from your own software that will be recognized by Microsoft Office as though they had been written by Office. So our agenda for today, assuming that the slides will advance, go. It doesn't want to. I'll push that button and see if that works. We're experiencing some temporary technical difficulties. Please stand by. It really does not want to go to the next slide. This could be interesting. All right, Michael, fix my laptop, would you? You have no idea what's on here or anything else, but fix it. All right, so what we may do here is we'll do it the old-fashioned way. We'll just show you one slide at a time. No, you get to see.
If you just manually select each slide.
Yeah, that's now what I've got to do is duplicate the screen here. This video is going to be great. Hi, guys. All right, this will not be the greatest view of things because you'll get to see.
Do you want to try it one more time?
Yeah, let's try this. Let's just see if this does it. Michael's an optimist, so we'll give it a go. And it wants to go back to dual screen mode.
Okay.
All right. Yes, but it did tell me a moment ago that there was an update, and I thought, you know what, I'm doing a presentation in front of people. I probably won't take this update right now because it may not finish in time. Maybe it really, really wants that update to be installed. So, all right. Well, I'm glad I didn't spend a lot of time putting in really cool animations because those would be completely lost under this presentation style. So we'll talk to you a little bit about the document formats that Microsoft Office supports. I'll give you an update on the various document format standards and what's going on in there. Me and my team participate in the most the key document format standard setting organizations to the Office organization. So we're involved in the ISO JTC1 subcommittee that works on the OpenXML document format, the Open Document format, and we also participate in the ISO technical committee that does the PDF standardization work. So I'll give you a little update on what's going on there. Then I've got a little demo that hopefully will work better than this presentation has done so far. A little example of what you can do, what you can accomplish if you work with the document format, the documentation that we've provided around our document formats in order to build Office interoperability into your application. And then we'll have some time for any questions that remain. So now I've got a click here. That's the way this is working, right? So let's talk a little bit about Office file formats and what is supported by Office. As you're all probably very aware, a few years back we started a transition from our old binary style documents to a more open XML-based document format. I'm sure you've heard of OpenXML, or at the very least you've seen the X appearing at the end of your document since Office 2007. So instead of .doc and .xls and .ppts, you've got .docx, XLSX, and .pptx. So we added the X to represent that these are XML-based files, but if you look at one of the files and you just open it up, it's going to look like a bunch of binary, right? Until you realize it's a zip-based document, and so you change the name to the extension to .zip, then you unzip it, and now you can see that there's XML inside of that. We still continue to support our binary document formats, and we've got very good documentation available for you so that you can interoperate with those legacy documents as well. And we've got tooling to help you validate that the binary files that your software is writing are recognizable by Office as valid binary files. That's important because we've noticed over the years that our binary files tend to be an attack vector for malware producers to write bad stuff into the binary documents that Office, when it opens, would do something wrong with it because there was an error in the file that could cause a buffer overrun or some other way for a virus to potentially get control of at least your Office system and potentially your entire system. Because of that possibility, we do a lot of checks in Office before we open up one of those binary files. We check for certain validation heuristics that we've identified over the years have been used by virus writers to inject bad code in there. So if you're writing a binary document with your software, you want to use the binary format file format validator, the BFF validator, not verifying that you've got really good friends out there that will be lifelong friends, but that your Office binary files are in fact valid and will not pull up a warning when Office tries to open them saying, this document is invalid or this document has errors. Is it from a trusted source? Are you sure you want to open it? We don't want your customers to experience that every time they're trying to open one of the files that your software created. So we give you a tool that is running the same set of tests that Office runs before it opens up one of those files. And if your files are passing with the latest version of the BFF validator, Office will also recognize them as valid and will open them without giving your users a nasty warning that causes them to call you up and say what's going on. In addition to the XML and the binary files, we also support Open Document Format. That's another standard-based document format. It's derived from OpenOffice and from their file document format. And now all of the different permutations of OpenOffice, LibreOffice, CalligraOffice, et cetera, all of those guys are still using Open Document Format, but we're starting to see some divergence in how they're writing their documents. And so interoperability with ODF is getting a little bit strained now. It's not bad because most of the other developers try to make theirs work the way that OpenOffice does. And that's the same approach that we've taken to our implementation of ODF. We try to make it behave like OpenOffice does in cases where the specification is not completely clear on what we should do, right? So then we write a bunch of files with OpenOffice, we look at the files to see what they're doing, and we try to mimic that same behavior. And then over the last few releases of Office, we've also introduced support for PDF. You noticed in, I think it was SP2 of Office 2007, we gave you the ability to start writing PDF documents directly from within Office, a very popular add-on with our customers, not so popular with Adobe because they liked selling you software to do that. But we've worked out our differences with them so far. And with Office 2013, we've now given you the ability to read at least some PDF files. What we're doing there is we're using the PDF standard to open up the PDF file, go into it, and extract the text elements and the formatting out of there, and try to replicate the same formatting that is in the PDF document using Word formatting, and create a brand new Word document that now contains the content that was in the PDF, roughly laid out the way it was laid out in the PDF, and with the text being editable, assuming that it's actually text in the PDF file and not just scanned images of text. There's not a lot we can do with those scanned images just yet. We'll probably get a service that does some OCR on it and does the best it can. But for right now, we're just opening up the text elements and creating editable text with those. All right, working down the slides here. So we've gone over the top four of those document formats. The other one, which you may or may not see a lot of if you're operating directly with Office, and that is the XML Paper Specification, or XPS. This is a document format that was developed by Microsoft primarily as a means of communicating with printers. The layout is a fixed page layout, so unlike the OpenXML, the docx, et cetera, files, which are editable text files, and the representation on a page depends a lot on what device you're rendering it to. Are you rendering it just to the screen? Are you rendering it for HTML? Are you rendering it for a specific printer? And the printer you choose in Office can impact the way that that document looks on screen and the way it outputs, because Office's standard document formats are not fixed page document formats, right? They are content document formats. XPS is a fixed page document format, so all of the instructions in that, and it's an XML-based file, are oriented around telling you where these elements go on a page. And we use this for communicating to printers, so that all of our printer manufacturers will have a consistent representation of what we expect that page to look like, and they can use this in communications to their printers. So some of the printer drivers in Windows write directly to XPS, and then the XPS is communicated to the printer, and the printer then renders that XPS into its print layout and prints it out on an imaged page. We don't spend a lot of time talking about that externally other than with printer manufacturers, but you should know that it is the subject of an international standard. It is maintained by the ECMA International standardization body out of France, and it is, I believe, Technical Committee 46 that manages the XPS standard. Other file formats that you will run into in your attempts to interoperate with Office are, of course, the Outlook personal folders, and we've got documentation on the PST file structure. We've got documentation available for you on the OneNote notebook files. And new with Office 2007, we've moved Visio to an XML-based document format as well. And those are patterned after the OpenXML. They use the same packaging convention that is defined in the OpenXML standard. And then they've got their own schema for how to represent the various elements that make up a Visio document inside of their XML file. We provide documentation on all of those as well to help you interoperate with Microsoft Visio. Documentation that is available to you in order to understand these. Do I have a laser pointer on here? I think I do. So, and it doesn't work. Yeah, this one doesn't either. Okay. So up at the top, we've got kind of an eye chart list of documents that are available for you. How many of you have already been in some of the interoperability documents that are available that describe Microsoft's implementation of these various document formats? We've got a couple of you out there. All right. There's two different kinds of documents that you'll run into. First are those that describe how we implement a given document format standard. And those, you have to use the standard documentation in addition to what we publish in order to understand everything that's in those documents, because the bulk of what's in those documents is described in the standard. So we don't re-describe that for you. What we tell you is, what have we done to extend what's described in the standard, and do we have any variations from the standard? And I'll admit to you, yes, we do have variations from each of those standards. In some cases, it's because the standard has some things that are ambiguous, and we made a choice to follow what OpenOffice is doing, for example, and it turns out that they clarified the standard later on, and it wasn't what OpenOffice was doing. That might be one reason we have a variation. Another variation that's relatively common, and we're trying to reduce these, is in the process of writing the OpenXML standard, we made some mistakes. Microsoft was a primary author, at least on the input documents to the standardization of OpenXML, and our guys made some mistakes and wrote the wrong stuff in that initial contribution, and it didn't get corrected as part of the standardization of OpenXML. So there are some things in the OpenXML standard that are just plain wrong. And Office implements them, we believe, correctly. But we describe for you in our implementer notes precisely what we do that is different from the OpenXML standard, so that when you find something in one of the documents that Office creates, you will understand that it's different from the standard, and it's different in precisely this way. And as I mentioned, we participate in those standard-setting organizations, so we're trying to correct some of those errors over time, and then we'll change the implementer notes to say, okay, now with this version of Office on down, we implement exactly what the standard says, because now the standard says what we thought it was going to say initially. The other type of documents that you'll find in our library are documents that completely describe one of our document formats. And this would be the case with those that describe documents that are not a standard. So for example, all of our binary document formats are not a standard, and so we've got to describe everything we do in those documents in our documentation itself. So the binary format documents are comprehensive and give you every detail of the options that are in Office documents. We also have kind of some general documents that are used across a number of different documents. So we give you an introductory document, MSOFFDI. That's the document introduction. Gives you an overview of how the different pieces fit together. So it would describe for you, for example, if you want to interoperate with Microsoft Word, here are the documents you will need to read. If you want to interoperate with a binary document, you will read the MS-DOC. If you want to interoperate with OpenXML DOCX files, you'll need this standard, you'll need this implementer note, and you'll need these extension documents. And then we've got also documentation of the customizations that we have. So for example, you can customize the Office user interface to add your own capabilities, your own menu items. We provide documentation on all of the details of those customizations. Some of those things can get represented in documents as they're saved, and so we describe how data from those extensions get persisted in Office documents. We provide information on the encryption that is used in Office documents. Those are a little bit difficult to understand sometimes if you're not a crypto expert. So we've got references to the cryptography baseline that you need to have in order to understand what's in those documents. And then there's a series of other documents that provide information on some of our forms, technology, et cetera. So if you've got questions about those in the other box, feel free to grab me offline and I can help you understand what we're doing with those documents. So this is just kind of an eye chart to tell you we've got a bunch of documents available, and if you're just getting started, the real place to start is MSOFFDI to give you an overview and a map to where to go next. All right, let's see if we can get another slide on here. All right, a standards update, and this one is a fairly simple one slide because I'll just talk to you a lot about this. That way I don't have to update the slide every time I do this presentation. Office OpenXML, which is standardized in ISO IEC 29500, the currently published version is the 2012 edition, and that is roughly describing what is implemented in Office 2010. It's kind of the baseline for our implementer notes, so the things that we do different from what is in the 2012 edition will be described in the implementer notes documents that I mentioned. What is happening in that standards committee right now is we are in the process of doing a revision of parts 3 and 2 of the standard. Part 3 describes extensibility. It's what we call the, MCE, the compatibility and extensibility for Office. So that particular section was not really easy to understand. It's a difficult concept overall, but we didn't do a very good job of describing it in the initial documentation for the OpenXML standard. And a lot of implementers scratched their heads and said, what does this mean? There were various sections that were unclear on where different elements could be put and how they all piece together. So we've done a lot of work, not only within Microsoft, but with the international committee that works on this standard to make sure that the rest of the committee and people that they work with to get feedback understand what MCE is all about, how it works, how Microsoft implements it. Microsoft Office is still kind of the baseline for, okay, how should this be done for OpenXML? We're getting more and more implementers out there, and that's great. We love to see that. There's very high interoperability there. But all of them still kind of look at what is Microsoft doing, and let's describe that. There are exceptions to that, but that's the intent of the revision of Part 3, which is currently under ballot to all members of ISO and IEC that are members of the JTC1. It's what we call a committee draft ballot, and we expect there'll be some comments coming back from that, and it will take us another month or two to address those comments, and we expect that we will probably, by the end of this year, publish a draft IS or international standard for adoption to get a new version of Part 3 done. Part 2 describes the packaging, the Open Packaging Convention, and we've just started the revision process of Part 2. That's not quite as complex, but there are also some ambiguities and other lack of clarity in the current edition of that that part of the standard, and we are working to make sure that that's more easily understood so that as you attempt to implement, it will be more clear to you how we use the zip packaging, for example, and how the different parts reference each other, what types of URLs you can put in the part references in order to keep your document still functional within Microsoft Office and other implementers of OpenXML. The Open Document Format is initially developed in the OASIS ODF Technical Committee. OASIS is a United States-based standards setting organization. They have a relationship with ISO and IEC's Joint Technical Committee that OASIS can contribute their standards once they're completed and published. They can submit those to JTC1 for adoption as international standards, and that was done with the first version of ODF, and that was published as ISO IEC 26300. The current edition of that is the 2006 edition, but there are a couple of amendments and core agenda to that, that if you want to get ODF version 1.1 understanding, you've got to also read the amendments and the core agenda that go along with that. Version 1.2 of the ODF standard was completed by OASIS in September of 2011, and a couple of months back it was submitted to ISO for adoption as an international standard. That is currently undergoing a two-month translation period where the national bodies around the world have an opportunity to translate the text into their native languages, and then it will begin at about the end of this month. It will begin a three-month ballot period where all of the members of JTC1 are able to vote on adopting ODF 1.2 as an international standard. We expect that that will be approved. There may be a few comments coming back from some countries that have some concerns, primarily around the change tracking capability. There were known problems with change tracking in ODF 1.0, and as part of the process of adopting ODF 1.0 as an ISO standard, some representations were made that they would fix the change tracking in the next version that they submitted to ISO. Version 1.2, in fact, does not include any improvements to change tracking. So there's one or two countries that are a little bit upset about that and may send back some comments that remind OASIS that they made commitments to fix that. And the ongoing work within the OASIS ODFTC is focused around fixing change tracking. So we expect the next edition that comes out of OASIS to include some improvements to change tracking. We are involved in that that technical committee. We've submitted contributions recommending how to fix change tracking to at least make it work for our customers. The way that it's defined in ODF 1.0 and 1.1 is so broken that Microsoft chose not to implement it because our customers have a certain expectation of what change tracking will do. And they expect that it will actually work so that when you open up a document, you will see changes that the people before you made, and you can accept and reject those changes. And the current definition of change tracking in ODF doesn't allow us to do that. So rather than give our customers an expectation that we can do it that doesn't actually work, we chose not to implement it and just let our customers know we do not support change tracking in our implementation of ODF. So our recommendation is simply either use OpenXML or the binary file format for your collaboration when you're doing change tracking. And then when you're done modifying the document and you need to make it available to someone in ODF, that's when you save it to ODF. And it seems to work so far. But we do expect that as the ODFTC gets a working definition of change tracking, that we look forward to being able to implement that and support that for our customers. PDF right now is in about the fourth year of defining PDF version 2.0. It's been a fairly long process because there's a lot that Adobe has done over the last, I think, four versions of Acrobat in PDF. The committee is actively working to determine what that Adobe has done in Acrobat should be part of the international standard for PDF. One of the areas that I've been most involved in is defining the JavaScript extensions that should be included as part of the ISO standards for PDF. So I am the editor of two projects in ISO TC 171, which is writing the ECMAScript for PDF and the ECMAScript for PDF extensions for 3D annotations in PDF documents. So we will have probably within the next 2 years a two-part standard that is a companion to ISO 32000 Part 2, which will describe PDF 2.0, that will define the ECMAScript extensions, popularly known as JavaScript, the extensions for automating and creating interactive documents and forms within the PDF format. Does anybody have any questions on any of the standardization activities? So it's a bit arcane, but Microsoft is involved here to make sure that the way those standards evolve is consistent with what our customers are expecting for long-term usability of their documents and the functionality that they are expecting. All right. Why is this? You didn't really want to see any of this stuff anyway, did you? Okay, here we come back again. I need to click more often because it goes to sleep otherwise. This is the part where we're going to do a demo, and we're going to really hope that that works better than what the presentation has done so far. So for this demo, I am going to switch over to Word. And the purpose of the demo is to show you that I can write a document in Microsoft Office version 2013. I'm going to save it not to my laptop, but up to my Box account online. And so we're using a cloud service provider that is not one of Microsoft's service providers. I'm going to save the document directly there from within Word. And then I'm going to open that same document on my Android tablet and look at it in inside of Mobisoft's implementation of Office of an Office productivity app on Android. So because I could have easily pre-staged this whole thing, I'm going to just make some modifications to this document. And you guys are actually going to tell me what modifications to make here. So section 2 of this document on working with Microsoft Word is going to have a title of, what should we make this title? Something about this event? Okay. Plug Fest 2014. And now we need at least two words that Michael didn't say, because I could have planted him, right? So word number one. What was that?
Monty Python.
Monty Python. All right. Any particular Monty Python or just?
Ministry of Silly Walks.
All righty. I want to be the minister of that ministry. All right. We're going to save this now. And how many of you are aware of the ability to plug in different cloud providers to Microsoft Office? You'll notice on here in my Save As list, I've got Box Online folders. We've published documentation on how to register a cloud storage provider with Microsoft Office so that it will show up in the list of save locations for your customers, and they can save directly from Office to your cloud storage. Now, there are some requirements there, and the first one of those is your cloud storage provider has to have a local cache of the documents that we're going to work with on the machine itself, because when our customers go offline, we want them to still be able to get to their documents. So most of the cloud providers operate this way anyway. They've got a local client running on the Windows system that synchronizes the documents between a local cache and the online storage. So I'm going to go into my online cache here, or my offline cache, and I'm going to come into Office Documents, and we're going to call this something else. Hello from PlugFest Redmond. All righty. We'll save that there. Now this is where I talk a little bit because there needs to be, do I want to, yes, let's save the template as well. Now I've got to talk a little bit and kind of kill some time while the cloud provider software, while the Box monitor on my machine catches the change and synchronizes that up to my Box account. So I've probably wasted enough time now. Let's go over to my Android device.
About this possibility to add on cloud providers.
Yes.
When I'm working with a SharePoint resource and I'm able to use the entire file locking and concurrent access mechanisms you offer for SharePoint, but all of this does not work with a Box account here. So if I have two users using the same file at the same time, then we do not offer co-authoring or even file locking.
That is correct. We don't have a convenient API for that or set of registries. What we do provide is documentation on the protocols that we use to communicate with SharePoint so that you can implement the WAPI and the FFSSHTTP protocols so that your server can appear to Office as though it is a SharePoint server, and you can do the co-authoring by implementing the same protocols that we use.
But in this case, we appear as a SharePoint here in Word.
Correct. And you just choose the correct library, add that to your SharePoint libraries, and it will start showing up in Office. All right, so I'm going to switch now over to my my tablet. And, good. Open up ProOffice Suite here. And now let's see. It says that I'm on my Box account, so let's go down to my remote files on Box and go into Office Documents. And hello from PlugFest Redmond. And as this opens up now, this is no Microsoft code anywhere on the Android thing, but the Mobisoft folks have done a very good job of implementing OpenXML. So the document that we just modified and saved on my laptop running all Microsoft stuff has now synchronized over a third-party cloud provider's file sync mechanism and opened up on a non-Microsoft operating system with a non-Microsoft application, and you've got a very high fidelity of the document here compared to what I created with Microsoft Office. This the Mobisoft application is actually a really good example of what you can accomplish when you put good, solid engineering resources coupled with the documentation that we've provided in addition to the standard to implement the Open XML standard in a very high quality implementation on another platform. So I like to mention to folks that interoperability isn't just a matter of Microsoft publishing a bunch of documents, because if that were the case, we would have been done a long time ago. But it also requires the third parties, you and your developers, to make the investments to understand the documents and do a quality implementation of those documents. If I had more time, I could show you other demos of other Office applications on Android that don't do quite as good a job, and their interoperability suffers because of that. So it does require quality implementation in addition to the documentation that Microsoft has provided. Another question?
Yeah, one of the most common implementations here is the Apache POI library, which is under Apache license, so it can be used freely in any commercial product. And my question would be, do you have any contact to Apache, or do you support them?
We have not been involved with the POI project. We do. Microsoft has a lot of activity with Apache. And in fact, we hired in the Apache president as one of Microsoft Open Technologies employees. And he is continuing to drive the Apache organization as he is helping Microsoft better understand the open source software community and the things that we should be doing to work better with those communities. But I appreciate your mention of that, because I will go back and look into that and determine how we can effectively be involved with them, because it sounds like a project that we should be supporting. We have in open source implementations of OpenXML, we have funded some projects. There's an implementation of OPC that we sponsored, some implementation of that. Within the next few days, you will see the OpenXML SDK that Microsoft has maintained for about 8 years. That will be released as an open source project here very shortly. And I hope I'm not stealing PR's thunder on that one, but it's not a really big announcement, so I can tell you guys. You guys just don't tell anybody, okay? And those of you on the video, you don't talk about it until it's announced either, okay? So we're doing what we can with open source. Another good resource on OpenXML is openxmldeveloper.org. Microsoft hosts that site, and we sponsor one of the maintainers of that site so that there is good, high-quality answers to questions. But we don't dictate what's going to go there. The resource that we do contract with, Eric White, is probably, outside of Microsoft, he is probably the foremost expert on OpenXML. And he has done some pretty amazing things. Most recently, I was blown away with the quality of the implementation that he did to convert Word documents to HTML and CSS. Not only did he get it to where your basic documents look really good in HTML and CSS, he completely implemented bidirectional capabilities so that if you're using a right-to-left language in Microsoft Office and you convert that document to HTML, all of the layout is accurate in right-to-left layout, including a lot of the intricacies that most of us will never understand because we don't want to know that much about it, on switching back to left to right in certain contexts. So Eric's done an amazing job there, and continues to blow me away with some of the stuff that he's able to do. I didn't know that we were, you know, paying him that much, but what he does is amazing. So if you're interested in interoperating with OpenXML, Eric and the other participants in OpenXMLDeveloper.org are a fantastic resource. So that brings me to the end of our presentation. Let me just make sure that we can see that it really is the end of the presentation. And if there are any other questions that you have, I'm happy to take them here. If you have offline questions that you'd prefer to discuss one-on-one, I'll be around today to answer those questions as well. So, okay. Thank you very much for your time today. Thanks, Michael.